You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Monday, February 4th, and I'm going to do a regular podcast today. If you've been listening to some of the improvisations, I'm going to separate those out and make them into a separate feed. That should be happening in the next few days, I hope, if I can get my administrative act together. So I will post on the written blog about how to find the improvisation stuff, but hopefully what shows up from here on out in this particular feed should be mostly just these audio practice diaries. So I wanted to tell you, I finally have the Badura Skoda edition that I've been talking about getting forever. This is one of the many, many Urtext editions out there. And one of the things that I really like about it is that it's very clear about which things come from which edition. With Chopin, there's the French edition, and there's the German edition, and there's his autograph copy, and then there's what he told his students, and there's all these different authentic sources that disagree. One of the things I really like about this Badura Skoda is that not only does he tell you what things come from where there's a disagreement, but occasionally there will be something that is just obviously ridiculous, but that comes from the source, and he will let you know he thinks it's ridiculous. So let me show you my favorite example of that. At the end of 10 number 10, there's this wonderful, let me see if I can find it. I'm opening the page. Okay, here we go. So he says, sempre diminuendo, continue getting quieter, e leggerissimo, and very, very light. So as light as possible, keep getting quieter, smorzando, like diminuendo. He gives you all of these instructions about getting quieter, 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 quieter. And then apparently in his autograph, three measures before the end, he wrote forte. So he has, let me see if I can do this for you. So this is not going to be as quiet and beautiful as it should be because it still is really super raw. But starting a few measures back, he does like. So here he says, get quieter and quieter. And then apparently in the autograph here, he says forte. Which just seems like a terrible idea. So one of the things that I'm sort of tickled by in this Badura Skoda issue is that he says autograph, forte, and then he puts parenthesis, sick, which means, of course, yes, that's really what it says. But here's what I am smitten by. Then he puts an exclamation point after the sick, which is just great. So I'm feeling like I have a better sense of what comes from where in this edition than I have in other editions. So this is my primary edition for now. We'll see how that goes. So I've been mostly working on 10 number 8 and 10 number 10. And I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about what I've been doing with that. So 10 number 8 I've been working on for a while, as you know if you've been listening. But something that I hadn't really done, and this is one of those things that when you do it, you go, oh, duh, I should have done that on day one, but I just never got around to it, is go through and find all of these little places where there are rolled chords and grace notes in the left hand and actually figure out where I want them to go with the right hand. So for example, one of the things I did was play the left hand alone with a metronome and really figure out exactly where things line up. So for example, in measure 4 going into measure 5, I'm going to play both hands slowly. We have this. Actually, no, I'll just play the left hand. We have this. Let me do that again. And then we have rolled, and then this is on the beat, right? So it's, except I noticed that I kept missing that, and I kept being uncomfortable, and it kept sounding terrible. So I actually finally went through slowly and went, and figured out that I want to have this note with this note, and this note with this note, and this note with that note, which gives you, and then suddenly it worked. So that's one place where I did that. And then, so I kind of went through every single place where there that sort of thing happens. And I actually wrote it in, like I put little awkward looking lines and things. So at the bottom of the first page, right, that kind of thing. That helped a lot. So I did that. Something else, I don't know if I had talked about this in my last episode or not, but one of the things that I was thinking about when I was just doing the left hand by itself is that if we think about each four-bar phrase, right? And here's the next phrase. One, two, three, four. And then here's a new phrase, right? So if we think about, this is called the hypermeasure for those of you theory geeks like me out there. So if you think about the hypermeasure and think about the four bars as being one, two, three, four, right? We don't want the second bar of the hypermeasure to be louder than the first bar. So we don't want it to be one, two, right? That sounds terrible. But I was totally playing it that way. And it was partly because the way the Steinway is, and I haven't tried this on one of Chopin's pianos, but I'm going to bet you a jillion squillion dollars that on Chopin's piano, this is not going to be this giant, huge honk. It's going to be more like, right? Because that's how you want the phrasing to go. This is much more musical. Hopefully you can hear that it's hopefully phrased better. So that's feeling much better. I'm feeling like this is coming together better. I'm really happy that I spent some attention on that left hand. Some of this, the second page is still feeling awkward. Don't love how I play it yet, but hopefully I will get there. And the last couple of pages of memory is feeling like it's making more sense. There's lots of little details that weren't falling into place, but they're feeling better. So I'm going to try playing this for you right now. There is a strings rehearsal going on in the classroom next door, so I'm a little distracted, but I'll just be a little distracted. So here's an attempt at a 10 over 8. We'll see how this is going today. Okay, so that's sloppy, and actually my piano's out of tune, and I have a feeling I'm going to hate what I hear when I hear that. But there are some places that feel better than they did. Like I said, the memory in the last couple pages is not as feeling super scary as it was. One of the things that is making me less able to play the middle section, although I think in the long run it's good, I was listening to some old recordings on YouTube. Loved listening to Courteau because he just follows the score, even though he plays wrong notes all over the place. He totally follows the score, and it's so nice to hear that. But I also found a recording by Solomon, which I just loved. I'll put a link up to the YouTube recording because, gosh, he just plays this beautifully. And in this section, this is in measure 45, He emphasizes these notes. And it's so beautiful. It's just this incredibly beautiful thing. And so I've been sort of thinking about that. And when I got to that section, I was thinking about it, but I haven't actually taught my body how to do it yet. So that just, it wasn't, it's a thing that I hope that I'll be able to do, but right now I'm not doing it. So the middle section is a mess. And I think my dynamics, I'm planning my dynamics. Like, I know exactly what I want them to be, but I don't think they're coming out. I think that it's all sounding sort of mezzo forte. So we'll see when I hear the recording. But that's coming. You know, it's totally not there, but it's coming, and I can sort of feel like I can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel with that. So speaking of things that are coming and getting a little bit better, 10 number 10, I'm happy to report, has gone from being a piece that I just can't play to a piece that I can sort of play, but not happily. So I can play through it. I have it at the stage that I call memorized with holes, which means that I certainly wouldn't be able to play it from memory if I were nervous. I probably won't be able to play it without mistakes for you right now, actually. But it's starting to take shape in my mind, and it's fun to play. So that's a really nice change from just feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed by even thinking of playing this, which is kind of where I was before. One of the ways I've been practicing this, oh, this is this one, by the way. Oh, what the heck, I'll just play it. Except I forgot, I shouldn't have talked. Okay, I will start it again and play for real. Anyway, one of the ways I've been practicing it, as I was going to tell you, is instead of doing all of... I've actually been just playing the little bit. So forth. I actually need to spend a little bit of attention on just the left hand of this, because I'm noticing that my left hand is feeling really clunky here. But here's the thing that I've noticed in the left hand, which I honestly really only started paying attention to this week. It's embarrassing that I wasn't paying attention to it before. But the left hand at the very beginning, it's all eighth notes, right? Except for this is a half note. And so is this. And so is this. And so is this. So this and this, and then we go to the long notes being just quarter notes. This is where Chopin is giving me a piano lesson and saying, hey, future pianist, pivot on this. This E flat is a pivot. Do you hear how I'm holding it down while I play the low note instead of, which is a lot easier. So I'm not quite sure what he's getting at that beyond just, hey, future pianist, pivot. Because I don't think he necessarily wants that note to be super prominent when you hear it. Anyway, let me try and play it with the stuff. I'm going to try to be true to the actual articulations here, and I'm going to use the music because otherwise I'm going to get confused. So this will be a little under tempo, and I'm going to try and actually do what he wrote, which we always try to do, but I'm really going to try and do it. That was a mess. I need to fix notes in the left hand, but I will. Mm-hmm. page here, right at the key change, which is very nice. Oh, I'm looking everywhere except where I should. Oh my goodness. I have this. I'm in that no man's land between memorized and not knowing where I am on the page. Sorry about that. I know that's not very fun to listen to, but listen to this cool thing that it is here. I can do that better. Let me do that better. No. A mess, but you can hear that will be fun someday. Okay, check out the German sixth. Ready? Isn't that great? This is supposed to be really quiet. Oh, no. I need to pay attention to the left hand because I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, so you can hear that that's totally not where it needs to be. It's a total mess. But I'm feeling like I'm getting the shape of it. And I wanted to kind of give myself permission to play it a little faster than I'm ready to play it to kind of feel the arc of the whole. And I am going to put a lot of energy into the left hand and making the left hand be musical, actually, and really phrase away on it and not be clunky. Some of these moments are going to actually be really fun. I'm annoyed that I didn't play this as well as it was going earlier. Anyway, one thing I'm doing here is I'm doing an unabashed cheat for hand size. I'm talking about measures 46, 7, 8 around. So the left hand here is. This is all fine. But then he wants you to do this with one hand, which I can do if I really stretch and make a big deal out of it, but not really in the heat of the moment. So I'm actually leaving out this low note. So I'm doing, and I don't think anybody's going to mind. So that's going to sound like, well, if I actually played, I need to play that note, right? But you can hear that that'll be fine. So that will work fine. I just love this moment. I mean, come on. Chopin, he's so great. Okay, so those are the two pieces that I'm sort of working on the most right now and trying to get, you know, from thing I can't play to thing that I can play. And or from thing that I can sort of play to thing that I can play and be happy with. So the piece that I'm trying to get from thing that I cannot play to piece that I can play, sort of play, and then I'll try and make it to a piece that I can be happy with, is 25 number 10. This is the octaves one, and since my hands are small, this one just has always struck fear in my heart. So I'm working on a very small piece of it, like a specifically bite-sized chunk from measure 5 to measure 19 or so. This is this one. And so not only does he have you doing octaves with both hands, but he also has these inner voices. So I'm actually playing just the inner voice and my thumbs, because part of what happens is there's sort of a stretch. And And I'm trying to do it in kind of small pieces, so I'm doing like... Oops, I did that wrong. I'm going to do that one more. You can hear that one... So some of these feel very awkward. So I'm working on that. I'm going to just keep working on it like that, probably at about that speed. I will speed individual ones up as they get feeling closer to possible. This thing goes at 144, which is just not a thing I can imagine doing right now. But I'm going to try and get it to... you know, under tempo, and then I'll get it to tempo, and then it'll be possible. I did want to say that last night during Super Bowl day, which I didn't watch the Super Bowl at all because I kind of don't care. But yesterday I played through all 24 etudes. Now, didn't play them all that I like them at all. But I'm kind of happy that that's even a thing that I can do, to play through all 24 etudes instead of not being able to do that. So I've been talking to my students a lot about both finding small goals and then kind of cheering for yourself for small goals. And so my bite-sized goals are, I want to take these few measures of 25-10 in this simplified way. I want to make them feel easy. They don't feel easy yet. So I'm looking to make the simplified way feel easy, and then I will work on making the whole thing get easy. And I'm going to try and get 10 number 8, this one. To feeling really good. It's feeling really good some days, but it's not consistent yet. And the middle section needs a lot of work, and the left hand needs some more work. And then still working on getting 10 number 10 to where it really, really feels good. So that is mostly what's going on. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainstswig.com. You can hear my daily improvisations there too. I'll put up a link. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy. Be done.